See them tonight. Hallelujah. Amen.
Good to see them. I thought I heard that truck pull out there.
I'm going to sing this song in honor of my brother-in-law who just passed away today.
Yes.
And if you know what, you can help me. Okay. Someday when I travel my last mile here, the call will be coming for me. I'll enter the lifeboat that will be near to carry me over the sea. He'll hold my hand as over Death's River I go. Then safe I'll be in beautiful heaven I know. My bark shall sail safely the way. Dash high, for Jesus will be at my side. He'll still the rough water when by and by I'm crossing the river so wide. He'll hold my hand as over Death's River I go. Then safe I'll be in beautiful heaven I know. I'm ready to go to that golden shore, to live there while ages shall roll. I want to meet Mother and saints of yore in heaven, the home of the soul. He'll hold my hand as over Death's River I go. Then safe I'll be in beautiful heaven I know. He'd had 20 years in the wheelchair. And you know, he was a good man and he lived for the Lord. And that was always his desire, to go home.
Amen.
And he loved to go to church and hear good preaching.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we've got a couple more wanting to sing tonight. Katie, you and Scott are going to sing. Y'all come on. And I appreciate the women singing that song tonight. One day, that song will be a reality. Your life and mine too. One day we'll cross that river. Amen.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Our treasures are lit up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, I know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. My Savior, pardon me from guilt and shame, I know. All trust in saving grace while traveling here below. I know He'll welcome me at heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, I know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not at home, oh Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have a precious mother up in glory land. I don't expect to stop until I grasp her hand. For me, she's waiting now at heaven's open door. And I can't If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Amen. Amen. A good job there. And they're young, they're using their youth for the Lord. And I wish I could say, oh, Eddie done that. Oh, Eddie didn't get in until he's 34 years old. I got in, though. Hallelujah. I'm glad I got in. Might have been a late bloomer, but I bloomed, amen. I used to plant stuff when I back when I'd done a little bit of garden. Some of it would come up, some of it wouldn't. I'd either plant it too deep or too shallow. And I'm glad, praise God, I've been planting together in His likeness. Amen.
Amen.
And I think Linda left her song book up here, which that'll be fine. Has anybody else got anything on your heart tonight, any song or any word or anything? If you do, we'd certainly be glad to welcome that. If not, we'll take our Bible tonight. Hold my Bible up tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I actually intended to preach this message this morning. And like I said, I'm just a messenger boy. The Lord changed the message. And anyway, we're going to try to finish that last point. We already preached about being steadfast. We already preached about being unmovable. And now we want to get to that third point, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58. The Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We'll go to God in prayer right there, and I'll be preaching tonight on always abounding. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the songs we've heard. We thank you for the great number that's here tonight. Lord, it's truly been a blessing already. Father, what we've done felt here, but Lord, we know you're intended to do even more. And we just pray, dear Father, tonight you'd set a table that the hungry could come and dine. And Lord, I pray the thirsty could come and drink from that well of water. That Lord, it's a living well. Lord, it satisfies the soul. Lord, you know every need. You're able to meet every need. And I pray you will, and I pray you get praise and glory and honor. Help me tonight, and every preacher, Lord, tonight, standing for the Word of God. Help him, Lord, I pray. Lord, to stand. And Lord, I pray, having done all, I pray they'll stand there with. And we hear rumors about churches splitting, preachers falling. And Lord, we don't like to hear about them, yet they still happen. But I pray, Lord, you'd help us to be found working at your coming. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be fruitful in that work. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to get my jacket off tonight. And it's not really that hot in here. I just figured I'll slip that thing off real quick. Hook his mic up. Always abound in here. You know, as a child of God, I got saved April 27, 1988. I still remember that day. I still remember kneeling down there on my bedside. Man told me, he said, Eddie, Jesus loves you. He said, Eddie, Jesus wants to save you. He said, he's just waiting for you to ask him. And he said, Eddie, let me give an illustration. He said, if your little boy had done something wrong, and he come to you and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He said, Eddie, what would you do? I said, I'd forgive him, Wendell. He said, it's the same way with God. And the only way I know how to explain this is faith sprung up in my heart to believe God to save my soul. And without faith, the Bible said it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I couldn't wait to find a place of repentance. And I knelt down back there in my bedroom. I still remember the old pitiful prayer I prayed. I knelt down and I said, dear Lord, somebody told me you loved me. Somebody told me if I'd ask you, you'd forgive me my sins, you'd save my soul. And I said, the best way I know how, right here, right now, I'm asking you to save me. And heaven came down. I had my eyes closed, Jessica. I'm not kidding you, when I opened my eyes, I expected to be in heaven. I mean, heaven came down. I had never had anything like that ever happen to me in my life. I mean, heaven come down. When I opened up my eyes, I was a little disappointed. I'm sitting there, I mean, I'm just in little shock. I mean, I just went from lost to saved, from darkness to light. And all of a sudden I thought, there must be something God wants me to do. That's why I'm here. It must be something God wants me to do. With that thought in mind tonight, I just want you to know tonight there's something every one of us ought to do. We're all ambassadors for Christ. We're all messengers of the message. Amen. We're all epistles that people read the pages of our life, and Christ ought to be on every page. Amen. Amen. Carolyn ought to be on the cover. It ought to be on the backside. It ought to be in the middle. It ought to be everywhere we go. Amen. What a proclaim. Amen. What a difference, glory to God, that Jesus made. Hallelujah. Jesus told little disciples when they came back from Cracker Barrel, John chapter 4, verse 35, they offered him something to eat. And he said, I got meat to eat you know not of. And they thought, man, we just come from Cracker Barrel. Anybody give him something to eat? He went ahead and answered their perplexity. He said, my meat's to do the will of my Father which sent me. In John chapter number 4, you know, sometimes we get caught up in the moment. We forget about why we're here, amen. John chapter number 4, verse 35, he told those disciples, he said, lift up your eyes. He said, look on the fields. They're white already to harvest. Nothing's changed. We still need to look. Old song, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. They're still perishing. They're still dying. I like the report. Linda City was longing to go home. Not everybody's in that category. Some of them, they're not ready. We used to play that game, hide and seek. And I remember they said, ready or not, here I come. If you wasn't here, you was the first one got caught. That's kind of the way Jesus is going to come. He said, how you think not? The Son of Man comes, amen. But he told those disciples, Molly, he said, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. They're white already to harvest. Verse 38, he rebuked them. He said, I sent you to reap. He said, I sent you to reap where others done the work. I mean, baby, all they had to do is go pick up the fruit. He said, I sent you to reap on other men's labor, I believe it says. Verse number 38. I'm in John 5. He said, I sent you to reap whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labor and you're entered into their labors. You're abounding. Paul said, always abounding. You know, sometimes I'm abounding. And I'm like Paul. He said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. What abased means is you're holding ground. You ain't giving no ground up. Abounding means you're taking in more ground. Amen. You know, that's what we need to do as a church. We need to hold our ground. And then when the opportunity presents itself, we need to take more ground. Amen. I mean, we're more than conquerors through Him that saved us. Amen. Paul told the church in Romans 14, verse 17, he said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We get all mixed up and think we'll have a McDonald's in the church. And for what it's worth, there are some mega churches that actually have McDonald's in them. I couldn't believe that. My pastor told me that, and I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, I'm not kidding. He said, they serve coffee and snacks while the man's up there preaching. I said, don't get me in that place. Can you imagine, brother, in a place like that? I turn in immediately to John the Baptist. I mean, I'll tell you right now, I turn inside out. I can't. My mind can't go there. When I think about the holiness of God, I think about Jesus coming there with it, scourge and man turn them tables over and run them people out. He said, He made my Father's house a den of thieves. He said it's a house of prayer. Man, we better be careful when it comes to God's house. I can't believe they put a McDonald's in a church and called it. I went to a church one time and I wasn't there for church. I went there for a play in my granddaughter's school and they had basketball goals
in the church sanctuary. What they did, they rolled the chairs and have church. At the church, they take the chairs up, play a few hoops in the house of God. I don't know about that. Now, I ain't got no axe to grind tonight. I believe there's a difference between God and the world, amen. And the Bible said the friendship of this world is enmity with God, amen. You can't abound, amen, with a double handful of the world. You gotta forsake this world for the glory and cause of Jesus, amen. Come out from it, the Lord said. Amen. He said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. If you got an appetite and you got a drinking problem, you know, it's going to be a hindrance to you in the work of God. Jesus told them, verse 34, my meat's to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. He said, are you abounding? I'll tell you what, buddy. There's something not only for us to do, but I'll tell you what, we need to start doing what God left us here to do. Now, there's some work and the labor's a few. Every now and then you meet someone, they got a mind to work. And you don't have to ask them, they ask you, is there anything I can do? Is there anything that needs doing? Man, that's a pastor dream. I remember one time, he said, all of you that want to do something but glory God, meet me after church, we'll go out and pick up cigarette butts out of the parking lot. And they thought, I ain't doing that. He said, that's work. He said, we'll clean the men's restroom, and then we'll go clean the women's restroom. And of course, you know, we're sitting there thinking, man, that don't sound too spiritual to me. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to clean up. Somebody's got to do it. There's all kind of work to be done. I like the glamorous work, that hidden work nobody even knows about, that people do. Somebody like Linda get about 3 o'clock in the morning, go in there and fall on her knees and say, Lord, bless the work over there. And does more than all of us do. I'm not saying she done it, but I'm saying if she done it, she'd be doing more than all of us do. Get up in the wee hours of night and weep for souls and pray to God and say, Lord, you know what's needed. You're the only one who can supply that need. And Lord, we just pray you'll visit our service. Yeah. That's the kind of work. It's kind of a hidden work. It's behind the scenes. Nobody but God knows it. Jesus said, your Father knoweth that which you do in secret. He said, your Father seeth it in secret and rewards you open. He said, don't give your alms before people get the praise of men. Give your alms. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Just do it for the reason you want to do it. But don't do it for any praise or glory. The hidden work. Jesus, at the age of 12 years old, told his mother, Luke chapter 2, verse 49, he said, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? He started working early, and he never let up. On the cross, beaten beyond recognition. On the cross, with nails in his hands. On the cross, with nails in his feet. Crown of thorns on his brow, bruises on his face, and stripes on his back. He said, it's finished. Amen. The work God gave him to do, Molly. He said, it's finished. He finished it. I like that. He begun at the age of 12. The Bible said he set his face like a flint towards Jerusalem. That tells me, buddy, he had his mind made up. Amen. I think every now and then, Brother Billy, we need to set our face right. I believe the devil knows we can be talked out of something. I never will forget one time I was at the house. It was on a Sunday night. And I got in the flesh, little bit Carl. And I thought, I believe I'll just stay home. The devil said, yeah, I believe I'd do that if I was you. And I stayed home on that Sunday night and went in there and sat on the couch, got me chips and snacks and drink, sit there and in the flesh, feeding the flesh. And then I inquired how it went on that Sunday night. And oh man, it's like Esau, I missed the blessing. I missed it, Brother Melvin. I heard the message. I got to listen to it by way of recording. Man, the devil beat me out of that blessing. Boy, he'll do it. He'll rob you of that blessing. But I'll tell you what, you set your face like a flint. You make up your mind. The devil came in with a made up mind. I mean, Jesus He said, get thee behind me, Satan. That's what we need to do sometimes. Just say, devil, get behind me. I'm going. I'm going. I don't care if I don't feel like it. I don't care if I sit back in the back and hack and cough or even back in the very back. I'm going, amen. That's abounding, amen.
Amen.
Brother Anthony had it in his heart. Start a website. He came to me, Brother Eddie, you mind if I start a website? I said, whatever it is, Brother Anthony, do it with all your might. It wasn't no easy deal. It took him a long time. He worked hard at it. He got that thing up and got it going. There ain't no telling how many people have been ministered to.
Amen.
By that website. That's what I'm talking about abounding. That's talking about taking in more ground. Lengthening your tent stakes. Not being content to dwell in one place. But to look and see, is there anything else I can do for the glory of God? Is there any other place that I can bear some fruit for God? I'm telling you, I'm just kind of getting started in this tonight. But I'll tell you what, buddy, but Paul said, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, just remember one day, He's going to pass out rewards, amen. Paul said, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, whom the Lord Himself shall give me, and not me only, but all of those that love Him and look His appearing, He'll put a crown on one day.
Amen.
Glory! I've been to a lot of graduations. It's an honorable thing. But in my mind's eye, I can see a big long line. And here they are. And the Lord's standing there. And He's saying, well done. He takes that crown and He says, well done. You've been faithful. Jessica looks at that crown. She says, it was worth it. The toil of the world would seem as nothing. I'll tell you what, buddy. There'll be a few that'll be disappointed because they'll see what others got and they'll know they could have got that. All they had to do was look to the fields and see there's white already to harvest. Hold me. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 through 30. Tells a parable about a man had two sons. He said to one, go work today in my field. That one said, I will not. And afterwards he repented and went. He said to the second, go work my field today. He said, I go, but he didn't. Your life's manifested somewhere in that. You're either saying and doing not, or you're doing even when you don't want to because of love. You won't do too much if you don't love the Lord. Paul said the love of Christ constrains me. He said it won't let me stop. It won't let me slow down. It keeps me going. He said I cease not for the space of 3 years with tears. Witnessing both small and great. Love's a good motivator. I tell you, boy, I love my family. I work hard because I love them. If I didn't love them, I wouldn't. I'll tell you what, love's a good motivator. If you love the Lord, you'll work. If you love the Lord, boy, I'll tell you what, you'll be bountiful. You'll be abounding, always abounding, looking for opportunities. Tell someone. Old song said, I love to tell the story. Jesus and His love. He told His disciples, He told us how to abound. Look in John chapter 15. I'm going to use quite a bit of scripture out of John chapter number 15. He told here in John chapter 15 how to abound. He said to His disciples, He said, I'm the true vine. My Father's the husbandman. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. You know, Ephesians talking about the washing of the water by the word. That word will clean you up, boy. I don't remember, I guess it's Ron Ralph or someone said in Dale Moody's Bible, he had wrote in there, sin will keep you from this word. Let's see. This word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this word. I believe this Bible, I believe it's what he had wrote in there. Sin will keep you from this Bible, or this Bible to keep him sin, I believe what he had wrote in there. But Jesus says, you'll cling through the word which I've spoken unto you. He said, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except ye abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. You remember what Jesus said about that fig tree? He cursed it. The Bible said it withered. And the reason he cursed it, because it had no fruit on it. He come hungry to that fig tree. It's a parable about Israel. And he saw no fruit on it. And he cursed it. And the disciples said, Master, the fig tree which thou cursest in Mark chapter 11, I believe it is. The fig tree which thou cursed is withered. I don't want the curse, I want the blessing. I don't want to be barrenless. I want to bear some fruit. But the Bible here says, if a man abide not in me, that's what Demas did. Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. He ended up on that pile of castaways. Jesus said, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire. They're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Here it started out more fruit, now it's much fruit. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue my love. Lord, here, somebody said God's in the fruit business. And we need to bear some fruit. I'm looking here at verse number 8. Let's see. Verse number 2 is more fruit. Verse number 2, bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit. That's what I'm looking for, them three things there. The Lord's telling us here how to abound. He said, if you'll abide in me and I in you, you can abound. You can bear some fruit. You can get something done. Amen. You can abound if you'll. Jesus told us right there in verse number 5, without me you can do nothing. There's so many people doing nothing today because they won't hook up with Jesus. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke's easy, my burden's light. You'll find rest in your soul. We need to yoke up with Jesus. Go out, boy. Paul, he said, I by myself can do nothing, yet I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. In Luke chapter number 13, verse 6 through 9, that barren fig tree's mentioned. The Lord said, verse number 7, He said, cut it down. You better be careful about not bearing no fruit. The Lord said, cut it down. Cumbers the ground. It ain't fit. It's not abounding. It's withering. I got some trees I got to cut down. One of them laying over on the house. That's kind of the way we are sometimes. Instead of standing tall and straight, we're leaning. Jimmy Swigert, tremendous soul, learning to lean. That's not the kind of lean I'm talking about. That's talking about leaning on the Lord for help and leaning on the Lord for comfort. But I'll tell you, a lot of people are leaning and ready to fall. The Lord said about that barren fig tree, He said, cut it down. He said, for 3 years, He said, I've come seeking fruit and I found none. Has God come seeking fruit in you? You tell me, Brother Eddie, I'm just not very outgoing. I'm just not very outspoken. Have you ever asked for help? I'm just embarrassed. My pastor, when he got called to preach, the first night he preached, they had to go into overflow. People he worked with, people he grew up with, his family, they come, they just wanted to see him talk. He'd never said a word. They always accused him of having a string in his back that his mother pulled where he could say yes or no. I mean, he was real bashful. He wouldn't say a word. And everybody come just wanted to see him speak. They were astonished. And he started abounding. I like to hear him speak now. He speaks what I like to hear now. Boy, he expound on that word. Amen. And I like to hear him speak now. But he wasn't much on speaking. Very bashful, very reserved. I mean, of all the people God called to preach, he was a church on a Sunday night. He had a little baby in his arms about like yours there, Anthony. He looked down the face of that little baby boy. When he looked down the face of that little baby boy, God told him, he said, there's a million little boys out there in the world just like that little boy needs somebody to tell him about Jesus. Amen. And God put that horseshoe right on that stile, boy. Yes. He put that baby over in the arms of his wife, hit that altar, and he said, God, if it be your will, I surrender right now. Amen. But I'll tell you what, God began to work in him, amen, and continued unto this day. And I pray, I've seen it, amen. That's your angel. Hallelujah. Don't tell me God can't use you. Don't tell me you're not qualified. Not many mighty, not many noble, but God shows the foolish thing this world can find the mighty. Don't tell me you ain't tall enough. Don't tell me you can't speak plain enough. Moses said, I'm not a virgin with speech. God got big and mad, said your brother can talk, go get him. Who did he use? He used Moses, didn't he? Something happened there, amen. I believe, boy, he realized, buddy, he didn't have to worry about Moses. Moses just needed to learn about God. We give God all them excuses. God came seeking fruit, found none. That fig tree dried up. Peter said, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Mark chapter 11, verse 21. But you remember the recommendation was made, let me dig around a little bit and dung it. If it bear fruit, well. And if not, cut it down. You know, God, He ain't like you and me. He don't give up. I remember hearing a sad story one time, a sad commentary, about a woman that preacher of a church, someone come to him and asked him if he'd go out there and talk to this woman about her soul. He got his friend to go with him. He said, go with me. I need to go to the hospital and talk to a lady. She's dying. And he said, I'll go with you. They went out there, Brother Melvin. They walked up to the bedside of this woman. She's laying there and a look of death on her face. And they said, ma'am, you mind if we have a word of prayer with you? She said, you'd be wasting your time. He said, we don't understand. Jesus loves you. She said, when I was a teenager, I told God, you leave me alone, and I'll leave you alone. I ain't felt him since. You better be careful about that sin of sinning against the Holy Spirit. The Bible said that Holy Spirit, Jesus said, no man come except my Father draw him. That Spirit of God that deals with us, that Spirit of God that convicts us, that convicts us and convinces us of the fact we need to get saved. Don't grieve that Holy Spirit. She said, I'll make a deal with you. You leave me alone. She was a teenager, Jessica. She said, you leave me alone. I'll leave you alone. She sealed her fate. That woman died a terrible, agonizing, awful death because she didn't take no thought for eternity, Brother Lloyd. She told God, you leave me alone. I'll leave you alone. I see a lot of people out there like that. They don't understand God. He don't give up. But I'll tell you one thing. If you tell Him to leave, He's gracious enough. He will. Amen. We'll not tell God to leave. We'll tell God, come here. Amen. Take me out. Amen. Search me and try me. See if there be any evil way in me. In the light of your word, examine me. In the light of your spirit, try me and prove me. See if I'm what I need to be. You won't never abound. You won't never amount to anything until you let God take His rightful place. My wife, she's always thinking how she can do this, how she can do that. I said, honey, you can't do nothing. Well, we can't just leave it to chance. Don't leave it to chance. You remember what James said? If the Lord be willing, we'll do this or that. I told this, I know it's old, broke record, but a farmer out there mending his fence, his neighbor come by with his cow. He said, where are you going, neighbor? He said, I'm going to town to sell my cow. He said, you mean Good Lord be willing, I'm going to town save my cow. He said, there ain't no good Lord be willing to it. I'm going to town save my cow. He said, well, all right, buddy, see you. Wasn't too long he come back. Jessica looked like he got in a fight with a saber-toothed tiger, clothes hanging off all over him, bloody beaten. He said, what happened to you? He said, I went over that hill and down the bottom, there's a bunch of robbers, and they beat me and took my cow, and I'm going home, good Lord be willing. Sometimes we learn them lessons. Poor choice of words, amen. Yeah. Well, let me ask you tonight, are you always abounding in the work of the Lord? Are you bearing any fruit for God? Are you? You know, it's amazing how we know all of the sports figures' name. It's amazing how we know all the songs of the world. It's amazing how we can remember all that, yet we can't remember one Bible verse. We can't even remember John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept. We can't remember one Bible verse. The Bible says, exercise thyself unto godliness. Godly exercise profit much. Bodily exercise profits little. We can't put something down long enough to pick the Bible up. Get something worth having. And we fill ourselves with the things of the world. And then we try like Samson, try to go for God. I can see Samson. He'd been playing around with sin. Been living the worldly life. And he's a Nazarite. He's got a Nazarite vow on him. His hair is long. He's strong. And he's in Delilah's lap, Jessica. And she said, tell me, I pray thee, where thy great strength lieth. He messed with her a little bit. He said, boy, if they bound me up with new reefs or something like that where never man being bowed, that'll take away. And he just broke them. And then he told them to weave his hair. And I don't remember the three or four things there. And finally she said, tell me, quit mocking me, where your great strength lie. And he said, there's never been a razor come to my head. If my hair is cut, I'll lose my strength. And he went to sleep in her lap. She called for the Philistine barbershop. And they come in there, and I mean, fell in on him. He got up and said, I'll go as I did other times. And the Bible said, he wist not, which means he knew not, that the Lord had departed from him. And they got him, Carl. They put his eyes out. And they bound him, and this time he couldn't break them. And he went down there and ground in the mill for the Philistines. And then they brought him out and made fun of him. Laughed at him. That's not abounding. We don't need to do like Samson. What we need to do is like Jesus. We need to be about our Father's business. We need to look on the fields, lift up our eyes, and see they're white already to harvest. Get somebody on your heart. Get a burden for them. Start praying for them. Don't give up. Don't let up. And abound. Take in more ground. Lengthen your tent stakes. And keep going for God. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor's not in vain in the Lord. Amen. One life to live. The only one worth living is one living for Christ. Tell you what, the world's made a mockery of Christianity. They laugh at Christians now. They laughed at Jesus, but He didn't laugh with them. The sad thing is, we're laughing with them. Lot, when God come down there, He said, get all you got out of this place because we can't destroy it until you're gone. Pictures the church. The Bible said he was a righteous man dwelling among them, best his righteous soul from day to day of their wicked conversation. Neither was he partaker of their evil deeds. They were filled with the conversation. The Bible said he had two son-in-laws. Margaret, if he had two son-in-laws, that means he had two married daughters, right? He had two other daughters that he said had not known a man that he offered in place of those two angels when those homosexual sodomites tried to beat his door down. And he went out, you know, we got to do everything diplomatically now. He said, hold on just a minute, I'll take care of this. Sometimes you can't diplomatically talk things out. Sometimes you got to roll your sleeves up and say, bring it on. Amen. Sometimes, I'll tell you what, you got to put on the armor and you got to war a good warfare and you got to say it ain't going to be that way. I don't care. That's the man in my house. We're going to serve the Lord. It's not up for discussion. Lot went out there and said, hey, let's work this out diplomatically, boys. Listen, we can work this out. I got $2 in here and ain't no man. You can have them. Leave these men alone. The Bible said they pressed hard against Lot. Don't let your mind go what this is saying to the point I almost broke the door down. Them angels opened up that door, struck them men with blindness, and he said, give what you got and get out. Whew. That day it came for Lot. What's it going to be with you when God says, get what you got, we fix and leave out? Amen. Is your testimony going to be? You know, Lot, the Bible said he seemed as one. Said he seemed as a one that was foolish or something. I'm trying to remember. He seemed like something to his son-in-laws. He'd lost their testimony. This, what they're saying, let me paraphrase it. They said, you talking to me about Jesus? You that sit out there at the gate are talking to me about Jesus? Don't lose your testimony. Amen. If you're abounding, people will know it. If you're gaining ground, it'll show up. You'll come in here instead of being flatlined. You'll come in here, Brother Eddie, guess what? One my neighbor to God. And me and you will go, woo! Have us a victory lap or two in here. See, we come in, it's mundane. We sit there, like them statues on Easter Island. Okay, preacher, move me. I was singing a song tonight. I shall not be moved. We don't need to be like that. We need to be abounding. Man, I'll tell you what, to bring some in here, I don't know, turn it loose, maybe to grab somebody's leg and at least squall out, we'll know some life in here. Hold me. Paul told his church, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Are you always abounding? Are you even abounding? Are you bearing any fruit? Or are you withered? Are you working? Are you taking your ease? Bible says, woe to them are at ease in Zion. We got plenty of it. You know that last church, that Laodicean age church? The church of the people's rights? I know my rights. Hey, preacher, don't be preaching to me. I'm Laodicean. I'm lukewarm. He's coming. Lord, I'd like him to see a way to Wade. I might not be able to do it. But I'd like him to see a way to Wade reason with someone out of the Scriptures. You know, the Bible does say to be ready to give a man an answer to ask you a question of a reason open to within you. You ought to be able to know enough Bible that you shouldn't have to say, well, let me, I'll go get my preacher. I'll be right back. Brother Vernal's I'm talking about, don't you? I'll go get my preacher. I'll be right back. Tell him, preacher. It ought not be like that. I used to do my preaching that way. Better than tell him. Finally, that's where I can stand on my own ground. Amen. Then that's where I can take on more than one. Finally, I said, come on. Let's get a Bible out. Let's see what thus saith the Word of God. I remember a guy I worked with, he pretty rough. By the way, he got saved. Amen. Mike Killebrew. He come to me, and he had piercing eyes. He come to me, and he stared me down, Jessica, and he said, some people say I got the eyes of a demon. I said, well, you might have them, Mike. But I got the power of God. He said, I'm going to put a curse on you. I said, curse away, buddy. Roll off my back like water off a duck's back. He said, I'm going to put a curse on you. I'm going to put a curse on your family. He's threatening, you know. I'm working with this guy. He's my account clerk, and I'm a pressman. He's weighing my loads and all that. And Carl, one day, he came over to me. He said, where's that scripture at? And I showed it to him. You know, that Bible, it's sharpened and two-edged, so I saw it cut him a little bit.
Yeah.
It wasn't too long, but he came over and said, what's that other scripture that you was talking about?
Yeah.
It wasn't too long, boy. Mike said, you ain't going to believe this. He said, I got saved. And he's an older guy. And I tell you what, but it's kind of unusual. Someone as old as he was to get saved. But he's saved now. I see him all the time. I say, how's it going, Mike? He said, whoa, glory to God.
Amen.
It was in worst case scenario. Tyler had extreme makeover. Everybody scratched their head about old Mike like he did about old Brother Eddie. Always abounding. I hear him out there at work. They say, whoa, Why would God have me work out here as a Christian? It's filthy language. All these filthy habits of these people. I said, where else are you going to work? In the church? God said, go work my vineyard. He said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that be sick need a physician. We know the great physician. Where do you expect to work? Where does the light need to be? In the darkness. It shines more. Listen, I'm like you. I like being in church. Hallelujah. We can't stay here. If we stay here, the world's going to go to hell. We've got to take this message out. We've got to find that one nearest hell. We've got to hate the garment spotted by the flesh. We've got to reach in and pull them out of the fire. Jude said, we've got to do it. Because if we don't, we've missed our mission. Paul told this church, be ye steadfast. Are you steadfast? He said, be ye steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Then he put some sugar in this. He said, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain, the Lord. I'm looking forward to meeting my Savior, Linda. I'm looking forward to look upon Him that died for me, loved Him, that loved me and gave Himself for me. And on that day, I don't want Him to be disappointed. He may be, but I don't want Him to be.
That's right.
I want Him to say, Eddie, you've done the best you could with what you had. You didn't look for no excuse. And I'm not looking for excuse. I'm looking for ground. Some people see a glass half empty. I see one half full. Amen. I just got a different outlook than everybody else. I see, well, yeah, they're in the rough, but just wait till Jesus gets done with them. All they need is a good dose of Jesus, amen. I'm telling you, if you look in the right way, if you think the right way, you'll abound in the work.
Amen.
I worked with a man named Randall Hammer, roughing the cob, Jessica. I was in there washing my hands in the men's restroom one time, and Randall Hammer come by, and God said, go talk to anybody. So I said, what you talking about? Not this guy. And God whooped me real good, Rachel. I told the Lord, I said, you give me another opportunity, and I will. And I thought, you know, on down the road, you know, years to be. Before the end of that day, we was working. I went back there to wash my hands, back there to sink. Here come Randall Hammer. And here I am. I'm there, no getting out of it. I've asked for it. You give me an opportunity, Lord, I will. You know, we give God some kind of way of excuse. You know, I ain't got an opportunity, but if you give me one, I will. Here he come. I finally got up enough nerve. I turned around, this rough guy, Randall Hammer. I mean rough. I still remember rough, boy. I turned around, I said, Randall, when I said Randall Carlin, he said, you know anything about automatic washing machine? I mean, I finally got up enough nerve to witness this guy. And I said, Randall. And he said, you know anything about an automatic washing machine? I said, no, Randall. You know anything about Jesus?
Amen.
And I couldn't believe his response. He said, no, but I want to.
Yes.
I done labeled him as hopeless. I done labeled him as be a waste of time to talk to him about his soul. He said, no, but I'd like to.
Yes.
Amen. God sees different than you and I do. He said, no, but I'd like to. Listen, if God ever put somebody on your heart, go with it. If God tells you to do something, do it. With all your might, do it. You'll never abound till you do. You know, we see through glass darkly. We think, you know, we got it all figured out. We think, you know, we've arrived. God put somebody on your heart. I remember a young preacher. Well, he wasn't a preacher then. I remember a young boy. I had him up here not too long ago, Michael. Michael, can't remember his last name. One looked like old Scarecrow, a little thin, black-headed boy, Michael. He called me up. He said, Brother Ed, I need to talk to you. I said, what about? He said, I'll let you know when we meet. We met over there in the house in his parking lot. He wouldn't weigh 60 pounds, I don't think, with two sacks of grain on his arm. I said, okay, Michael, what do you want to talk to me about? He just bowed his head and cried for a long time. I said, tell me. He cried some more. And I waited. I could tell it was pretty bad. Finally, he got his composure. He said, Brother Eddie, God's called me to preach, and I can't do it. And I remember what I told him. I said, Michael, if God called you to preach, there's a reason behind it. Somebody will miss hell because you accept that call. And if you don't accept that call, they'll go to hell. And I remember that little boy, wasn't big as a minute. I remember, boy, it registered in his mind. And he said, if God wants me to, I will. I said, I'll promise you this, Michael. If God don't want you to, you'll be able to get out of it. And if God does want you to preach, you won't be able to get out of it. I can already tell God had really been wearing him out. He announced his call to preach, boy, and been setting the world on fire ever since. Does a good job standing for God. It's 6 o'clock. I'll stop right there. Listen to what I've said tonight. Think about this. Are you abounding? Why not? What does hinder you? Why is it you're so flatlined? Why is it you're so mediocre? And my mama called me a fanatic, and I still am. And I take that as a compliment. Has anybody ever called you anything? Are you abounding? Lord, we thank you, Father, for the message tonight. Lord, it's more of a pastoral message tonight to save people. But Lord, there might be some lost people here tonight. Lord, if there is, I pray you'll help them realize they need to get to Jesus. And they need to get to Him quick. This thing's about to finish. Lord, when it finishes, Lord, it's going to be a terrible, Lord, ordeal for the lost. Because, Lord, all their hope's going to be taken away to the saved. All their opportunities going to be taken away to win their family and win their neighbors. Lord, that day is fast approaching. Lord, it's nearer than when we believed. I pray, dear Father, tonight you'd make it real in our heart. I pray, Father God, tonight you'd open our eyes with eyesight, unstop our ears and squeeze our heart. For those that are dear to us, and we'll go an extra mile, try to reach them for Jesus. In Christ's name we'll ask it, Father. Amen. Ask everybody to stand tonight. I know we're giving the Baptist invitation here, but I hope you realize tonight God's got you down here for a reason. If He didn't have a reason for you, you'd already be gone. You'd already be in heaven, walking streets of glory, streets of gold. Are you doing what God left you to do? Are you bearing any fruit? Oh! Go ahead, Brother Melvin. You ain't bearing no fruit. Won't you come here tonight and say, Lord, I want to be fruitful. I want to bear some fruit. I need your help. Come on, young old. Nothing's going to change. Yeah, you step out and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, if there's anything I can do, I yield myself right now as clay in your hand. I yield myself right now as an obedient son or an obedient daughter and pray even tonight you make me fruitful in the work of God. You know who gets the work done? Those that say, here am I, send me. Those that say, I go. Those that say, Lord, help me. Show some sincerity tonight. Come on. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Are you in that rut? Your routine? Mundane? Difference in America? You. Don't ask God to send someone else. Ask God to send you. Get him off. Take your rightful place in the Word of God. Go to sleep. Go work. Roll up your sleeves. Show God your sickness. Trust Him now. Brother Melvin. I got a cousin's got a wife. Her name's Connie. She will not let you talk to her about her soul. Her husband claims to be saved. Rachel, she's going to die lost. And ain't no missing. She's going to die lost. All the hope she's got is for her husband to talk to her about her soul. And he won't do it. Mark Wallace, my cousin, he's in the category of Ryan and Adam. I look up at him. I mentioned it somewhere. And he's got extra vertebrae in his back. Whatever he's got, he's about a foot taller than me. And I told him, I said, Mark, he's younger than me. I said, your wife's going to die lost. She's going to go to hell. I didn't see no tears. I didn't really see no regard or concern. He said, well, she had a bad experience when she was young. I said, she's going to have a worse experience. A whole lot worse than that. Said, someone come out and got her by the hand and said, won't you come up here and get saved? And she calls that a bad experience. What if that devil grabs her by the hand and says, you're going with me? And pulls her down kicking and screaming down to the flames of hell. You talking about a bad experience? You die lost, that's as bad as it gets. That's worst case scenario. Because when the devil lays hold of you, you ain't getting away. Anybody got a word in your heart tonight? Thank you for bearing with me. I went in overtime. Can't believe I preached that long. I didn't aim to. Maybe somebody got a word in their heart tonight.
Appreciate the message and what we're here tonight. Good to have these people back with us.
Amen.
Young people still in church. You know.
Amen. Yeah, we got what a bountiful number here tonight. We're bounded tonight. Hallelujah. Good to have Brother Anthony and Sister Melissa, Ryan, Anthony, and Jessica, and I can't remember the baby's name, Tristan. Or
Timory.
All right.
Timory.
Good, yeah. Carl and Rachel, good to have Carl and Rachel here tonight. I called him today, and he said, we'll be there. I heard that old truck pulling out there, and I admit, my heart just jumped about 3 or 4 beats. I said, going to be good. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless you, Rachel. Rachel told me she wanted to get baptized, and she said, I want to do it as fast as possible. So we may go down the creek and break some ice. She said, you didn't care.
I don't care how cold it is.
All right. I like it. That's what we need.
Amen.
That's how you buy them.
Yeah.
I don't care how cold it is. I want to get it done.
Yeah.
If there's anything that you'll accept for an excuse, you won't ever get nothing done. I like that, Rachel. We'll get that took care of. Matter of fact, we'll talk about that after service here. Try to work that out. I don't care next Sunday. I don't care if it's coming a blizzard. Hey, we'll have to take a cutting torch out there and cut a hole. We'll go do it, don't
we? We'll do it in style.
We'll do it. I'm on board. I'm with you. I think that's a blessed thing. Somebody not only gets saved, wants to get baptized for the glory of God. That'd be a wonderful thing. I'm looking forward to it. I'll do my part. Who else?
Brother Eddie, I want to thank the Lord tonight.
Bless you, Karen.
I want to thank him for the service and what you said about Lord send me.
Yeah.
It's in my heart, it's on my mind.
Bless you, Karen.
And today makes 3 weeks, and I should have done more than what I've done.
Bless you.
I ask the Lord to forgive me.
Bless your heart.
But there's a church in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Faith General, where Drew Smith preaches.
Uh-huh.
And Christmas, all their water lines froze when their heater went out. And now all their ceilings have been floored. They've not had church for 3 weeks. And a lot of those people don't know what to do or where to go.
Yeah.
They don't even know where to start to clean up.
Bless your heart.
So I would like to ask if there's anybody in here that knows any of those people, call them and invite them over.
Yeah.
Because the seats are empty. They have about 50. We've got room for 50.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
That's a bound right there. That's how you do it. That's exactly how you do it right there.
My son-in-law and Karen goes over there, you know, but Danny said he was going in the morning and try to start cleaning up some of it.
Yeah.
The floors are all bucked where the water ran.
Wow.
And stuff. And, you know, somebody might want to lend a helping hand. I don't know, but
amen.
They do need some help.
That's what the first thing you do is you make mention. Second thing you do, you put feet on it. Appreciate the testimony, says Carolyn. Anybody doesn't know anybody goes down there and you want to try to help in that clean up and everything, that'd be wonderful. That'd be some work you could put your hands to and get some reward. And maybe, you know, in the meantime, maybe they might come up here and visit a little bit. I'll tell you what, we're all part of the body of Christ. It's not like, we're exempt or better or whatever. We're all just members of one body. I don't know if I'm a little finger or the toe, but I'm part of it, amen.
You know, there's his mom and his dad and his brother and her, his wife, and they just not going.
Yeah.
They don't know where to go. So.
I appreciate everybody coming out tonight. Appreciate my Carl and Rachel said they'd come a couple times and we'd cancel the service, but they came anyway. I'm proud of them for coming. Kind of disappointed that we'd canceled the service, but we were just thinking about people getting hurt, but they came anyway. I wanted to pass out a rose there, and I appreciate them coming tonight. It's a blessing when you see people come through them doors. It's a blessing, amen. Next time you come, bring a couple with you. I picked up a girl on the highway and brought her here one night. Scared me to death. I didn't know it was a girl until I pulled over. I mean, she had an army coat on and a thumb stuck out. I thought it was a man. I pulled in. I seen it was a girl. I said, oh, what have I done? She started to open the door. I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. I want her to know right off the bat, buddy. Hey, I brought her here that night. I said, listen, if you go to church, man, I'll take you on to Somerset. She said, I'm going to Somerset. I said, I'm going to church. You go to church with me. And I told everybody here that night. I said, I picked up this girl on the side of the road. I was scared to death right there at the Evening exit. And I told her she'd come to church with me. I'd take her on to Somerset, and I took her up there. Just pick up somebody and bring them with you. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Are we done tonight?
Well, the church agreed to dismiss prayer meeting through January. That's on with the note.
Yeah.
January, maybe the prayer warm up in February before we give that prayer meeting again.
Yeah. We won't have any Wednesday night service through the month of January just because of the bad weather and stuff. Matter of fact, it's supposed to snow, I think, all this week. I'm going to shut up right here. Nobody else got in there on your heart? We'll all stand. I get Brother Vernon, if you would please dismiss this word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we look to you at the close of another Lord's Day and another hour of service. We thank you, Lord, for this day, for the privilege that you've left us with, and being able to assemble in your house, Lord, with this thy people. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit, for your presence, Lord, that we feel and that abides with us.
Amen.
Part of the kingdom. Lord, we ask that you bless each one that's come this way tonight. Pray that you'll go with us, Lord, as we're separated. Be with us. Keep your watchful eye on us, Lord. Bring us all back here.
Yes, Father.
The next appointed time and deliver praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.